I'm Matthew Smith, Vermont Edition producer, and I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Nina Kacken for Jane Lindholm. You love your house, and you've lived in it for years. But there comes a point when you start to realize it's a lot to keep up. Maybe there's a lot of yard work or too many stairs. If you're retired and living on a fixed income, maybe that big house of yours is simply too expensive to keep, or it's too far away from your kids. So you think to yourself, now might be the time to downsize. But then you realize that means you'll have to sort through everything in your attic or the 30 years of boxes piled up in the basement. And what about all those slides and photos that you've been meaning to organize? It really can feel overwhelming. So today on Vermont Edition, we've brought in two experts who can help answer questions, offer tips, and go through step-by-step ways to make this downsizing transition that so many families struggle with a bit easier. Angela Smith-Jang is the acting director for the Adult Services Division at the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living, DALE. She focuses on programs and services for older Vermonters from senior centers to long-term care, all aimed at helping Vermonters age well. Angela, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Donald Rathgeb Jr., he's the co-founder of Second Act Transition Services, and he specializes in helping seniors with the planning and logistics of moving, as well as helping make all those tough choices about what to keep, what to donate, what to sell or recycle, and what to pass on to the next generation. Donald, hi to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, so many of us have personal experience with today's topic. I know that after my own father died in 2010, my childhood home in Milwaukee became too much for my mom to manage, and it was a home that they'd built in 1963, so there was almost 50 years of stuff inside. And I remember my mom saying how completely overwhelmed she was just by the prospect of starting to sort through everything and dealing with it alone in her mid-70s, when it was really tough for her to do the heavy lifting. And I think it was doubly difficult for her because while she was in Milwaukee, I was here in Vermont. My brother was in California. And so the brunt of this fell on her. And I imagine many people are faced with this after a spouse or partner dies. Angela, let me start with you. When should people start thinking about planning to downsize? Because I imagine after the death of a loved one is not the ideal time.
The short answer is now.
I was afraid you'd say that.
In the sense that really planning ahead really is key. It can reduce the stress and anxiety, the sort of anger and fear and sadness that goes along if it feels like a crisis, in that if a death of a family member or a healthcare crisis happens and people need to move. So really planning ahead is key, and it's not too early to start in your 40s or 50s. You know, as soon as your children are grown or you're hitting that place where you're starting to even begin to think about retirement, it might be a good time to be reflecting on what's important to you.
Wow. Donald, I'm curious for you how you got into the business of helping seniors move.
Well, the company Second Act was co-founded actually with my twin sister, Mary Jo. She was living outside of Manhattan at the time, and we had some relatives there, and she was helping to actually downsize one of the apartments that had been lived in for 50 years. Not having any experience in it, but seeing that there was a need where there were tensions, there were family members involved, that she just really needed to depersonalize, organize, give tasks. She just found that she had a knack for helping downsize. And when she was going home, she realized that there's a business in this. And that's when we found the National Association of Senior Move Managers. It's an organization with about 1,000 members. And we joined, and it took a while to take courses in the safety and ethics, and it's an organization where you have conventions and you share daily trials, tribulations, success stories, heartwarming stories of what people go through throughout the nation, and we all have really a common bond. But that's where Mary Jo called me in, and I left the corporate world to start the company 5 years ago.
Wow, and I bet you're busy. Well, we were talking before the show started about how universal this is. You know, if we're not going through it now, we will at some point, or someone we love is going to be going through it, and we're going to be helping them sort through things. We've already got a caller calling in from Williston. Danielle, hi, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. You know, I just wanted to call in and say, you know, this is a really difficult time for a lot of people, and I recently experienced that. And I didn't know if you all were aware of Resource, which is a local nonprofit. They were really helpful in this time for us. They offer a pickup service that is fee-based for removing items inside your home or a building, you know, and they're located in a bunch of different counties in the state of Vermont. And they're really, you know, they're sensitive to how difficult these things can be on families, and they were really wonderful. I had a great experience with them. I called and the dispatcher was able to get us on the schedule and help us sort through what the organization could take, couldn't take, and they were just really, really approachable about it. So I would, you know, I'm just calling as a neighbor and recommending this to everyone for a service.
Awesome, Daniel. Both of my guests were nodding at first. Go ahead, Donald. You wanted to say something.
Yeah, absolutely. Resource is one that is located in Williston, as well as there's one we use, Habitat for Humanity, called Restore as well. We all know of the Goodwill. And there's another one, Replays, which is benefits, I believe, the Children's Hospital and the Blue Mall. And so the key for what we do is when we are helping people organize is we know where each one will go so we can have a personal consultation, because Goodwill will take, say, the clothes and the electronics. Resource will take a bed if it's in immaculate condition, the bedding, but no one else will. So you just need to know where things go. It's much more effective.
And so just for listeners, Resource and the services that you're talking are groups that will take household items that, you know, when kids don't want them, when family members don't want them, what do we do with this furniture or different things? Angela, you're nodding.
No, I agree. I think there are those kinds of organizations across the state. And the question is, do you know about them and how do you find out about them? And so one of the things that I recommend is when people are thinking about the options and they're starting to have this conversation with their family is to really do some options counseling. And a great place to start is with the agencies on aging. There's one in each region of the state, and they can talk people through the different options for housing and then support them in helping through that process.
We got an email from Reggie that says, we are in the process of refurbishing and updating appliances in a house before putting it on the market. The house is in rural Vermont, and there are no nearby organizations or businesses willing to take non-working appliances and the old, very heavy heater and water pipes. It's already going to be expensive to rent a truck to deliver these items elsewhere in the state. What options are available for disposing of these non-working large items if we live in a rural area? Oh, I think that's an interesting question. You know, Donald, you were talking about the fact that if you have items that are in good working condition, there are a lot of agencies that may take them. What do you do with things like that or even hazardous materials?
Well, to start with the appliances, certainly if they're not working, I consider them metal. And with that comes a different option. You can call their – sometimes there are people who are willing to come by and pick up your metal because then they can sell it at a certain scrapyard. I use one in Hinesburg as well as one in Williston. And if I have a lot of it, because I love to recycle everything I can, as least in the landfill as possible, but I'll get enough metal and I can bring it there and then we can get a few dollars and give them back to the client. Or in this case, say, guys, you take the metal, you keep the money, that kind of thing. And if they get enough, it's beneficial for them. Just got to find the right group of people willing to go down and get that metal for you. But
well, do you think also – I'm just wondering where listeners that are in rural parts of Vermont, where they can call or where they can find out information about places close to them if it's not metal, maybe hazardous waste, for instance. Would it be their town offices to find out where to take some of this stuff?
What I would recommend certainly – of course, for the Chittenden County, it's a Champlain Solid Waste District, and that's obvious for the hazardous waste here. I would think that you could call the town office or I would search hazardous waste in the area. And
sure,
you'll find out where you can go, because the thing about hazardous waste is it's kind of restrictive in terms of when you could bring it. You have to – as a resident, you can bring it. at no charge to the Champlain Solid Waste District. But if you have someone like me come and pick it up, I'm a certified waste hauler for the state and for CSWD. So there is a appointment and a charge involved.
I want to go back to kind of one of the basic questions of, all right, you've started this whole thought process of downsizing. You've kind of made the decision, and now maybe you're at the make a plan, make a list, which I think it sounds like what you need to start with. Angela, when you sit down to kind of make that to-do list, what do you recommend to people as far as how to go about mapping out? Maybe it's going to take a year. You know, how long might this take?
Yeah, I mean, every situation is different, so the time frame can really vary. But I think starting with thinking about the kinds of things, depending on where you're moving to, will also make a difference in what you are able to keep or what you should give away or donate or give to other family. You know, so if you're moving to just a smaller house, that maybe you may be able to make some decisions in one way, versus if you're moving to a residential care facility where you're really going to be just having a bedroom of your own. And so the amount that you're able to take with you will be significantly less.
Go ahead, Donald.
Yeah. One part about that is we work with people in terms of, you know, to keep or not to keep what they can bring. And whether that be some small objects, that's fine. But it really comes down to when they're looking at moving the larger pieces of furniture. I mean, they may love their armoire in their bedroom, but going from 4,000 square feet or 3,000 or even 2,000 square feet into 900 or 400, sometimes you can't even keep your existing bed. But again, that helps you if you have a lot of stuff. Maybe you get a larger room, whether it be in assisted or in independent living facilities. But we create floor plans, which are really just a bird's eye view in which you can see that the bed will fit here and the dresser here, and we'll measure the furniture and the room. So I call it empirical data, that you can't bring that armoire. If you want to, that's great, but give it to a child, give it to a family member where you can go and visit it, but it's not going to be in your residence.
Because there's no place to put it.
There's just no place to put it. Plus, there's a safety factor. And we listen to the nursing staff and the physical therapist on site. If you can't get the walker through, or you got to get out of bed on a certain side, everything has to be positioned perfectly. And so that's why we create this bird's eye view. And the one thing we've noticed that when we do these floor plans with people, they get very excited because they're creating their new environment. And instead of that daunting emotional task, it's enlightening, and they really do enjoy seeing that.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about downsizing, which can often be kind of a daunting, overwhelming task. We're hopefully demystifying some of that today. With my guests, I've got Donald Rathgeb Jr. He's the co-founder of Second Act Transition Services. That's a moving company that specializes in helping seniors pare down and move to new homes. Angela Smith-Jang is also with us today. She's the acting director for the Adult Services Division at the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living. We'd love to hear your questions or comments. Listeners, you can join us at 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. I liked this email that we got at Beck Impact in Brattleboro. Actually, it was a tweet. Said, I prefer the term, quote unquote, right sizing, because it doesn't cast judgment on square footage or cost of where folks live. It's more about what's important and appropriate based on the needs of that person. Downsizing is scary, whereas right sizing can lead to greater freedom and less costly rent. So there's something to be said for just reframing this discussion. So let's take a caller now and go to Ellen, who's calling from Shelburne. Hi, Ellen. Go ahead. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Firstly, hello, Angela and Don. How nice to hear your voice. Hello. I have a business called Declutter Me, which I started 6 years ago. And I just wanted to share a freebie, which may address some of the emotion that surrounds getting rid of stuff that may have seen better days. So let's say you have an Afghan that your grandmother may have made for you for a wedding present, and it's tattered and isn't in good shape, but there's a lot of emotion involved in perhaps getting rid of it. So a suggestion is to maybe find 6 inches of it that look good and frame those 6 inches so that it honors the memory of this gift from long ago, and then allows you in a way to get rid of the rest of it without feeling badly about it.
So you can still save the memories and sort of save the essence of the item. Both of my guests are nodding, Ellen, so great point. Go ahead, Donald, did you want to add something there?
I did. What we see is a lot of people with things that they don't want to part with, it does not have a value they can sell per se. Like one thing is the fur coats of the past. We have so many of them that we have to get rid of. But we have found a couple organizations in the U.S. that actually make teddy bears out of them. And you can give those to the offspring or grandchildren. So that's just one way of preserving your grandma's old coat without having to leave it in the closet.
Angela, how do you give advice for seniors that are paring down when they have to deal with sentimental items? You know, we think about all of those lists that you make, like this is what I'm going to keep because of the square footage. But, you know, items that are really hard to give away or that may cause conflict in a family, you know, do you have any tips as far as how to start those conversations in a productive way?
Well, I think it does come down to a family conversation and really doing that in as open and transparent a way as possible with the whole family can be really important. And sometimes, you know, the items that you have a really strong attachment to, only one of the children does or another. And so sometimes as an example, my mother had accumulated a lot of dishes over the course of her life and from generations. And when she right-sized into a smaller home for her, she had boxed everything up. And one day we took everything out and looked at it all together with the five kids. And everybody chose things that meant something to them. And she kept just a little bit for herself, the key pieces that meant a lot to her. So sometimes I think that can be really helpful. There were some things left over at the end that we couldn't make a decision about. And so that is part of it, too.
Claire in Montpelier emailed us, I just helped my 86 and 90-year-old parents move from the house they lived in for 56 years into an independent living facility. Don't underestimate the emotional and physical toll a big move like that takes on you. Plan accordingly. It would have been a lot easier on my parents if they moved 5 or 10 years ago. Take into account that you aren't likely to get healthier or more energetic if you put this big move off. Thanks for that email, Claire. Today, we're talking with experts on the best way to downsize or right size. Nearly a quarter of Vermont's population is over age 60, so it's an issue a lot of us will be or are in the process of dealing with. We've got two great guests in the studio to answer your questions. Angela Smith-Jang is the Acting Director for the Adult Services Division at the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living. And Donald Rathgeb Jr. is the co-founder of Second Act Transition Services, a moving company that specializes in helping seniors pare down and move to new homes. Angela, we've talked about what to do when you've decided to downsize, you meaning an individual, and you think you want to move into a smaller facility. But I bet you both have stories about, you know, kids that think their parents should downsize, but that the subject has not come up. And I'm wondering, Angela, let me start with you. How do you bring up the conversation with parents who are not talking about right-sizing, as we should put it, but the kids think that they should be? Is there a productive way to do that?
Well, you want to honor the self-determination and the choice of the parent, the individual who may or may not want to move. So it's really important that that the family approach it very sensitively to that, knowing that it really ultimately is a choice that they may have to make for themselves. But there are certainly ways to bring up the conversation in relation to what's going on in the life of the parent, for example, around their health and wellness. How are you feeling in this space? Are you able to get around in the way that you want to? Do you feel safe and secure here? are you coping with the finances of maintaining this large home? And really just asking a lot of good questions to engage in that reflection. And it often needs to be an ongoing conversation over a long period of time. You can't start that conversation today and expect a decision today.
I found that absolutely in my family. Donald, I'm wondering, when you are in the process of helping someone or a couple move, what mistakes do kids make, or what would help, what should kids know and family members know to make the process go more smoothly?
Well, communication is really number one. And on the first consultation, you're really going to figure out the family dynamics, and you're going to find out who's the child who's in charge of the parents, certainly, like I said, with respect their determination to stay in the house if they want to. And just really tread lightly without trying to alienate any one of the children or the family as you're really acting as now a consultant or almost a project manager for this whole piece. But remember, the parents ultimately are the clients, and the children are there to help. And in some cases, they do and they don't help. So
every family, I'm sure,
exactly.
Has a dynamic.
Yeah, but we've had some wonderful families that, because that's all who used to do these moves. It was family and maybe some friends. With senior move management's really only been around for maybe 25 years with that national association, and even then, it's just barely starting to be known more out there that there are resources for the family that might have the children in Florida or San Francisco. I deal with children. The children, I say that they're some of them older than myself. They're giving me the direction from California, and we do it all electronically, communication. And then we move the parents out of the home, and then we liquidate the home afterwards, working with the realtors and movers and others. So it's really that you find out who is really driving the project on their end. Constant communication, constant updates, because it changes every day.
Well, let me go to the phone lines now and take some callers. Let's pick up the conversation with Erica, who's calling from Saratoga Springs. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you. Yes, I'm not there yet. I'm en route to Saratoga Springs. I'm driving and chuckling to myself because the reason I'm en route to Saratoga Springs is that's where I moved my parents last year. And I just think it's fantastic that this is just such a thing now that, you know, I'm realizing this is why people used to have large families because you had tons of kids to help. But this is so wonderful. Every single thing your callers and your guests have said, I'm just nodding my head. Yes, been there, done that. I'm an only child, so yes, there was no family friction. But on the other hand, I was the only one doing it. I just want to pass on a couple things that come off the top of my head. Basically, I went down there with my husband thinking I'd be there for 5 days, clearing out a 5,000-square-foot house. And after 4 days, he just said, you're not coming back. You're staying
here.
Oh,
no.
It took 4 months of 12-hour days. It was a lot of work. Every single thing your fantastic guests have said, yes, doing it. But I just want to emphasize that in cases like this, if you're not there, if your kids are not there, this is a case where truly the internet and your elected officials are your friends. Call your local state assembly's person's office and ask them what resources are out there, what state, what federal resources are out there. What do I do, you know, in the case of
So, this? Erica, let me just jump in and ask you very briefly, because I want to get to some other callers. Are your parents, are they doing well? Did the move work out for them? Are they happier? Are they comfortable?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. It was fantastic. And the other thing is your real estate agent can help you deal with an estate liquidator. Anything that once you've gone through this incredible process of choosing and paring down, and once you've made that to your decision, the liquidator will just take care of everything else. It takes a huge load off your shoulders.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad it worked out well, and thanks for taking the time to call and share your thoughts. Let's take a call now from Julie, who's calling in from North Hero. Hi, Julie.
Hi. Thank you so much. This is the timeliness of this is incredible. My parents' house was just put on the market yesterday after my spending the bulk of the summer back and forth to Connecticut, cleaning it out, just like the caller before me. I'm the only surviving child, and so it was incumbent on me to get that done. And I just want to echo the physical and emotional toll that takes. My parents, it was a crisis situation where my mom had died and my dad was living there at age 89, but then he had a medical crisis and had to move into assisted living. And to be saddled with all of those decisions, they'd lived there for 55 years, so it was sorting through everything. And I think what was hard was I am my mom's daughter, and as a result, I have kept more things to take back to our home than I anticipated and should have done probably. But I'd love to know from your guests, you know, what about all these things that had value and I feel as if should still have value? The silver, I heard someone mention the mink coats. We sold those at auction for $20. I mean, it was just crushing. But the silver and the antiques, I'm just wondering.
Both of my guests are nodding. Let me jump in and have Donald take a shot at that, because I think he's, I'm sure, had tremendous experience dealing with those very things.
Absolutely. That's one of the main things that the first question that comes up when someone asks me about the downsizing, the next question is, can I sell my stuff? And I mean, the antique market is not what it used to be back in, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s even. But we do have resources that we use around, at least in the Chittenden County area, several estate liquidators and auction houses. There's one gentleman I particularly work with. His name is Peter O'Brien from the Estate Sales and Consignment Center in Colchester. I would, in some cases, have him go and meet with the couple that is right-sizing. They work out their terms, and he actually helps me, because if he can get stuff out of there, we don't have to donate it or liquidate it. And in the long run, you make money, and you even save money there. So I really do recommend using a state liquidator or auction house to get rid of those things. And the thing is, he'll even take things like air conditioners and stuff that we'd have to recycle anyway. And so it's not just the antiques. So he'll see value in certain items and decide, do we want to have the estate sale? Do we want to just buy certain pieces from you or consign them? So you have options out there. And I recommend him, because we work well together, because when he's done, I go in and I'll clean out the rest so the realtor can sell the house.
All right. Let's take another phone call. We're going to go to Richmond now and check in with Larry. Hi, Larry. Go ahead.
Hi. I had just a couple of comments. And the first one about Goodwill. It's my understanding that Goodwill is a for-profit corporation, and the CEO is a multimillionaire. So I kind of discourage taking too much there. In Richmond, we have the Richmond Thrift Store and Food Shelf on Bridge Street. And they take good clothing and jewelry, no housewares, no furniture or appliances, but all sales go to the food shelf, and that's been serving more and more people lately, and I see it going up. So that's a good alternative, I believe, for, you know, if you're downsizing your closet or your jewelry box. And another thing, my wife and I never upsize, so our son will be thankful for that.
It sounds like he's going to be very grateful, and it's sort of making me think about everything in my attic, and I better start sorting through sooner rather than later. Donald, how do you find reputable places or places that might fit with your conscience about where to donate or give away items?
Well, they're certainly the last comment about the for-profit is, from my understanding, is correct. The thing is, I didn't realize for Richmond, which I should have, and I do now know I can bring clothing there. But the only one who really takes the clothing is the Goodwill. But now that there's the other option of Replays as well as the Richmond location, I think it's fantastic. I use Habitat for Humanity for housewares and furniture, mostly because I've seen the houses around town in Burlington that they had built right in my neighborhood where I live. So I find them very reputable. The resource that was mentioned earlier, I believe they used to be called Recycle North on Pine Street, but they moved into the old I guess it was the old Goodwill building in Williston. And they've been very good about taking certain things. The key, too, and just a kind of a plug here, is they have to reject things that just can't be resold. And I know a lot of times people are like, no, that can be donated. And times that just couches with rips, tears. Just we got to get rid of those.
Angela, I'm curious, when you deal with folks that are going through this process and then meet up with them several years later, how often do they tell you that the move was, despite all the trauma and the emotions and just the physical exhaustion involved in moving, how often do you hear that it was a really great thing and I'm so glad I did it and I wish I had done it sooner?
We hear that quite frequently. Often people feel a great relief and a great freedom, and just having that more financial freedom, more mobility, more ability to socialize in a new community. So often the move, as difficult as it can be in the process, if you plan ahead in advance, do that part well, think about your health and wellness, the kind of housing you want, the kind of options you want, your transportation and mobility, think of all that in advance. Then you end up in the community that really works for you, whatever kind of housing option that might be. And then down the road, it ends up being a great experience and a good long-term choice.
Well, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you very much to my guests today, Angela Smith-Chang. She's Acting Director for Adult Services at the Department of Disabilities, Aging, and Independent Living. And Donald Rathgrab Jr., he's a Senior Move Manager and co-founder of Second Act Transition Services. Again, I really appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank
it went
you.
Fast.
Yes,
we had a lot
did.
Of callers.
Great callers.
Thank you.